Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We've been looking in chapter number 2, and we've been studying verse number 19, which says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" We've been looking over the last couple of episodes at this issue of what the Apostle Paul is defining here as being our joy, and looking at what it is that the Word of God means when it actually uses the word joy. And the reason why this is a struggle for people at times is because people try to put the word joy and happiness together and say that those two ideas are exactly the same thing. We've looked at, over the last two episodes, really defining that idea of joy and how the Word of God actually defines that idea, and how it is that joy comes from the things of the Word of God. Now, when we look at the idea of happiness, and if I read a definition of the word happiness, which says, "The agreeable sensations which spring from the enjoyment of good." Now, when you actually read through the scriptures, what you see is that the word happiness is not actually found in the Bible. And the reason why the Bible doesn't use the term happiness is because happiness, using this definition which we've just read, comes from the things of man and has nothing to do with the Word of God. So the idea of being that the things of this world, the things that we're told that we're not supposed to be a part of, that we're not supposed to be having, have that level of influence on us, that those are the things that are creating happiness, and that joy can only be in the things of God, which is the things that are going to be for all of eternity. So the issue of happiness is things that are temporary, because everything of this world is nothing more than those things of the temporary ideas. And so that's why when you see this whole idea of what individuals come up with and say that they're striving to be happy related to things, that what they're looking for is, you know, the traditions of man, the things of the rudiments of this world that they feel that are going to pull them into a position of where they could actually be identified as being happy in their life, rather than that where the true joy that we're supposed to have, the joy that is identified as being the fruit of the Spirit, all those things that come from what we read in the Word of God, Rightly Divided, the doctrine that comes from the books of Romans through Philemon that applies directly to us today, the members of the body of Christ, the individuals who put their trust in the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and someone putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. This is what makes a person a member of the body of Christ. This is what allows for the issue of the joy that comes from the things of the Word of God to actually have an impact on the life of a believer today. And so that's why when Paul's speaking to this assembly at Thessalonica and talking about all the things that they've been dealing with, that he's writing to them about, laying out this doctrine for them, that he can identify this whole thing of that, you know, there, and you see in verse 20 where he's identifying that they're his joy because he sees the pattern that they've been related to the things of the Word of God. He's seen the Word of God working through them, which we looked at in verse number 13, and as we saw that, they're his joy. He sees that idea of the joy coming then from the things of the Word of God. The hope comes from the Word of God. The joy comes from the Word of God. And we see this idea to talk about here, the crown of rejoicing. That there's an issue of a crown that has been promised to the members of the body of Christ. Now, when we look through the scriptures, one of the things that we see is that there are several different things that are actually identified as being crowns that an individual, you know, and we're going to see how some of these are going to apply to members of the body of Christ. Other ones are going to be identified as being part of things of Israel's program. But there's these different things that are identified as being crowns that can have an impact and that have a role in both programs. Now, what we're going to look here, we're going to look at some of these other ones first, and we're going to come back to the idea of this specific crown of rejoicing that Paul is identifying here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. So we're going to start here. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we're going to see this crown that's going to be identified here in the book of 1 Corinthians. And here in chapter number 9, we're going to read here starting in verse number 24. And we're going to go down through verse number 27. And it says here, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for their mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, the issue of the Apostle Paul identifying something here as being the incorruptible crown that the members of the body of Christ are striving for here. So this is something he's saying that we are trying to obtain as part of this race that he says that not only is he running, but is identifying the fact that all members of the body of Christ are running this race with the idea of trying to get to this incorruptible crown that we are supposed to have. Now, when you've looked at here in 1 Corinthians, you know, and you read through and you go to chapter number 3, you see how it describes the idea of the judgment seat of Christ and how individuals, based on what it is that they do in their life, that they've built either the wood, hay, and stubble by doing the things that are contrary to what the Word of God rightly divided says for us today. So have done, you know, all the things that are contrary to the faith, you know, whatsoever is not of faith is sin that's laid out. Or there's the gold, silver, and precious stones that are built when an individual does the right things that are laid out according to what the Word of God says for us to do. There's, you know, a lot of practical information that's laid out in Romans through Philemon that speaks about how it is that we are supposed to be living our life, how the doctrine is supposed to be living out through us, the Lord Jesus Christ living through us, that as that is occurring, the gold, silver, and precious stones actually come out in our life because we're allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to be doing all these things. The gold, silver, precious stones are built up. The result of that is going to be that we are going to receive a reward when we get to the heavenly places based on the gold, silver, and precious stones which have been built up. That's where we're going to receive that incorruptible crown as part of that reigning with him in the heavenly places. You see how Paul describes over in 2 Timothy the issue of that those that suffer will reign with him. So there's an idea of, as part of that gold, silver, and precious stones that are going to be built up, that there's going to be a suffering for his sake that's going to occur. That suffering is going to be things of where it's going to build up that incorruptible crown. Now, when you look at that idea of the incorruptible crown as well, that talks about the issue of the things of, you know, because it's going to be something that's going to be for us for all of eternity, it's going to be something that cannot break down. You know, the corruptible crown that he was talking about, that, you know, individuals are running that race, that's something because it's part of the earth, you know, part of the earthly things, part of just the world. Anything inside the world is going to break down. The things that are built up related to us for, you know, what it is that we do according to the doctrine that's laid out, it's an incorruptible crown because it's never going to break down. It's never going to be impacted by the things that we do wrong. Now we can look here, let's go look at the second one here. We'll go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And we're going to see Paul describe another crown here that is, and this one again being for the members of the body of Christ here in 2 Timothy. You know, when we know when we get to 2 Timothy that we're looking at the last epistle that the Apostle Paul writes. So this is the final piece of doctrine that he's giving for the members of the body of Christ today. And here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to read verses 6, 7, and 8 here. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So the issue here with this one, and this is why it's a different thing than what we just read about over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, because the issue in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 was the idea of the person running to attain it, that there was an issue of a person trying, striving to get this crown, where Paul's describing the one here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 is that the individuals who are getting this crown of righteousness, it's been given to not only Paul, but it's been given to all them that also love his appearing. So every member of the body of Christ, because it's going to be the members of the body of Christ who are loving his appearing, that every member is going to receive this crown of righteousness that he's actually speaking of here. Now, this cannot be describing anything that would be, you know, related to the nation of Israel, because Paul, when he talks about his appearing, he's talking about the day of Christ, the appearing for the body of Christ, the catching out of the saints. So it can only be for us, and it can only be for those that are truly going to be part of this event, who are going to love his appearing. And there's going to be a different coming that's going to happen in the book of Revelation. That coming, there's going to be people who do love it. There's also going to be people who really don't love it, because he's going to be pouring out wrath upon individuals at that point. The things for the body of Christ, there's no wrath that's being poured out on anyone related to that coming, because no member of the body of Christ is appointed to wrath. So this crown that he's describing here, that's going to be given to all members of the body of Christ, is a reference to the glorified body that the members of the body of Christ are going to receive at his coming. And we see a description of that. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, where we're going to see Paul actually speak about, you know, this body that we're all going to receive at his coming here. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we're going to start here in verse number 51, and we'll read down actually all the way down to verse number 57 here. And it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, as we look through this passage, we see how Paul starts it out here and says, "I show you a mystery." Now, when Paul's using that term in his epistles and saying that he's going to show someone a mystery, he's going to be very clearly defining exactly what that mystery is. And, you know, so many people take this and say, well, he's showing them a mystery. He's describing to them the catching out of the saints. But immediately in this verse, he says, "I show you a mystery." He says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." So he's talking about this glorified body that we're going to be receiving, something that had never been discussed at any point in time. You don't see anything in Israel's program talking about this kind of body that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here. But he's saying that this is what has been promised to the members of the body of Christ. We're going to receive this incorruptible, immortal body, something that's going to be able to exist in the heavenly places for all of eternity. That's not going to break down. We're not going to have to worry about any sort of illness, aches, or pains, getting old. None of those things are going to have any sort of impact, because we're going to have something that's going to be able to be in the heavenly places for, you know, all of eternity. So however, you know, there's no end to that period of time, and our body's still going to be able to function properly, ruling and reigning with him in the heavenly places. Now, the Apostle Paul does put it as that it's going to be timed with his coming. So these crowns that we've been looking at, you know, these first two ones that we've identified, both of them are actually going to be given at the exact same time. Because when you look at the events of the catching out of the body of Christ, the members are caught out, so the dead in Christ rise first, then those who are alive are going to rise up after. The individuals are going to receive a glorified body that's going to be able to exist in the heavenly places, and the members are going to be having the events of the judgment seat of Christ happen right along with that, to where the members of the body of Christ receive the reward that has been given for them based on the gold, silver, and precious stones that the person's built up. And we have this promise of that we're going to be receiving this body, we're going to be identified in this manner because of our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the fact that when God is looking at us, he doesn't see us. What he's looking at, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 to see what the Apostle Paul is going to say here about the members of the body of Christ and what is true of who we are. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, I'm going to start here at verse number 16 and read down through verse number 21. It says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So as we look through this passage and we see how Paul identifies, you know, this ministry that's been given, you know, there's a ministry of reconciliation. There's a word of reconciliation that's been given to us. We have this role of being an ambassador for Christ. But as he's defining these things, he also identifies how it is that we're seen. The fact that we've been made the righteousness of God in him. We already have, as a present possession today, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when God the Father looks at us, he doesn't see us. He doesn't see us in all of our mistakes. He sees his Son in us. And when he sees his Son in us, the only thing that he can see is his righteousness. And by seeing his righteousness and being identified in him, that's why you see all the blessings that the Apostle Paul speaks of. You know, in Ephesians chapter number 1, which calls us accepted in the Beloved, that we've received the adoption of sons. All these different things that have been said about us that are true, all because of the identity that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when we look at the things and we go over and over with them in, you know, related to the doctrine that's been given to us, that it's not us that's really the issue. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's putting our trust in what he did, putting our trust in what he accomplished for us, because he's the only one that could actually have done all those things. It was his blood that was shed on the cross at Calvary that took care of the issue of sin. It's our identity, as you see when it's, you go over Romans chapter number 6, where, you know, you read, starting from verse 3 and going down through verse 6, where it identifies the fact that we're identified in his death, burial, and resurrection. That we're truly identified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by being identified in him, it's his righteousness that becomes the issue. That's why when you read them, you want to look at one last verse here, Romans chapter number 4, I'm just going to read one verse here in verse number 5 of Romans 4 when it says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." It's not our faith that's counted. It's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's his faith, it's his righteousness. And the end result is that, you know, we already have that reality that we know of what's been promised to us, that crown that Paul's identifying in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 is the fulfillment of that promise that has been made to us, the members of the body of Christ. Now, in our next episode, we're going to look at a couple crowns that are spoken of related to the promise of for the nation of Israel. And then we're finally going to get to the crown of rejoicing that Paul identifies here in our text. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information on how to watch our Sunday services live on Facebook as they happen, how to join our Wednesday night Bible study as well through a conference call option. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything on our website, anything in our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.